You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross here with Kate Lochte. And on the phone, we have Dr. Greg Renfro. He's a UK Extension faculty member, and he's going to help us with a subject I think we all need to know about, and that's how to judge country hams. Dr. Renfro, thank you for being on the show today.
It's my pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're calling you in the context of the 37th Annual Trigg County Country Ham Festival. But I have to recall a moment much earlier in my life, Dr. Renfro, when I had a hound dog, and we had a country ham, and we hung it in our laundry room, and we didn't. The hound dog was never around all of a sudden, and we realized that the hound dog was sitting underneath the country ham with the nose raised and just smelling it.
Well, you know, meat attracts everybody, so.
So what do you, I know that people are going to bring country hams for judging. And so how do you go about it? What do you look for? What's the methodology?
Well, there's several criteria that we judge a ham on, and one of the criteria that we judge on is what we call conformation, and basically we're looking at the overall shape of the ham. How plump is it? Does it look like have a pleasing shape? We usually talk about having the ideal shape would be kind of a teardrop shape. So you know, does it look like that classic teardrop for that conformation score? Then we'll look at what we call marksmanship or the ability to, or workmanship, I should say, not marksmanship, workmanship, where how well did they clean the ham up? Did the, they got all the excess cure and mold and this, that, and the other out of the ham? Was the ham trimmed up properly and so forth? That's usually about 10 points worth there.
Hey, Dr. Renfro,
whoa.
Cure and mold.
Yeah, well, in order to dry cure, you got to realize we're doing a throwback to the time before refrigeration existed and mechanical refrigeration existed. And so we would rub these hams with salt and sugar and maybe some black and red pepper or maybe some paprika, and the salt and sugar would penetrate the ham. And basically, during the penetrating of the ham, or what we call the curing process, it's forcing the moisture out of the ham. You got to realize that piece of meat, whether it's a ham, a ribeye steak, or even hamburger sitting in front of you, is roughly around 70 to 75% water. And since all life, including bacteria, need water for survival, for sustainability, we add the salt to the meat, and as it's penetrating in there, it's forcing the water out of the ham. And so during the curing process, we're trying to make that ham basically a bacterial desert. And so a lot of times when the curing process is over, which usually takes around 2 to 3 months for the salt and sugar to penetrate the ham, you still have some that doesn't actually penetrate the ham. And so that's got to be removed to make a nice show ham. And mold is pretty common on the hams. It's a innocent mold. In fact, it's, you know, research shows us it's mainly a penicillin mold, which we all know what that's going to be used for. But that's pretty common for mold to grow on a ham. In fact, some of these old timers will tell you they won't eat a ham until it's totally covered with mold. Personally, down in our meat lab, we keep our humidities pretty low, so we don't have to clean mold. So.
Okay.
That makes sense?
It does. Carry on.
Carry on. All right. Well, the other thing we look at is the color of the ham. Does it have a nice dark kind of peanut color, or is the color, you know, evenly distributed throughout with no blotchiness, or what we would call two-toning? The next thing we look for is the meatiness, the meat-to-fat ratio. Obviously, you don't want a ham that's too lean, but you also don't want a ham that's extremely fat as well. And the biggest point total, which is 30 points in all, is the aroma of the ham. And that's where we'll take an ice pick or a skewer and we'll insert into the ham, kind of spinning around inside the ham a little bit. pull it out, and we smell the aroma from the inside of the ham by using that pick. And what you're really looking for is the inside of that ham to smell like a country ham, which is kind of a, what I describe it as, a sweet, peppery aroma. Others may have a different description for it, but we all kind of know what we're looking for. Usually if you have that nice, sweet, peppery aroma, you're going to score pretty high. If you have just a sweet smell or a pepper smell, you're talking about scoring down in the low 20s. And then, believe it or not, I'd never come across this until we had some 4-H hams last year, and I had about a dozen of them that, that when I was judging them, they actually smelled like honey when you stuck them. So it's really interesting. I've gotten myself into some trouble before, because a lot of times when I'm judging, I'll have somebody standing next to me, and if they've got perfume on, they have to go away, or aftershave, because I don't know, for some reason your sense of smell gets really keen at that time, and you could pick up on somebody's perfume or aftershave. And so I've actually had guys smoking pipes next to me, and they said, you've got to go. So you kind of have to be, you don't want to be rude, but you know, you're trying to judge hams and get aroma off those hams, but all I can smell there is perfume and aftershave or pipe or whatever.
So how many hams typically will you encounter at the Country Ham Festival in Katy's?
I haven't been down there, and I get invited to go down and judge every year, and somebody already books me up. I'm sending my grad student down, one of my grad students down this year. Last year I sent another one down. I think they said there's around 25 to 30. Don't quote me on that, but quite a few hams down there. So.
I don't have to quote you. You just told everybody.
I just told everybody? Okay. Yeah, my media training is a little rusty.
Well, I should imagine. I gather that after you judge country hams, you don't get to taste them.
Not at this contest. Now, at the national contest, believe it or not, there is a National Country Ham Producers Association. And it's all the guys that do this for a living belong to that association. And we get together once a year. And myself and a few of the other meats professors, there's not very many of us that focus or are kind of what you call an expert in country hams anymore. There's only about three of us left. And we judge the national show, which there's only about a dozen hams at that one. And we actually taste the hams. But if you get much beyond that, you talk about going in a salt coma after that. You know, it's nice to taste them, but boy, if you get much above about 15 or so, your mouth gets numb because all that salt in there. But you can still pick up gentle and subtle nuances in the flavors even after tasting all those hams.
Do you care to mention some of the best you've ever tasted?
I tell you, it's funny you mentioned that. I was on the phone with an alumni of mine. I actually did my bachelor's and master's at the University of Illinois, my PhD at the University of Missouri. And Missouri is also a big country ham state. And there was a guy that I had met. He had graduated years before me, and he had actually cured two hams. He cured them the same way. Two he aged in Missouri, and two he aged in Kentucky. And even though he's a Missouri born and bred boy, he's taken all of his hams to the bluegrass to age, because our weather patterns through here make for a better ambient cured country ham. And so I think, to me personally, I think, and I'm probably a little biased since this is the home state, but we make some pretty good country hams here in Kentucky. And we have some guys that are really on the forefront of producing country hams. I guess it's all really what you're looking for. If you're looking for smoked country hams, the old adage is west of I-65 in Kentucky are smoked hams, and if they're made east of I-65, they're non-smoked hams. So it all depends what you want. You're trying to paint me in the corner and get me in trouble with these guys, too. So.
Well, what does a ham curing environment typically look like?
Basically, if we're doing an ambient curing, and that's a practice that's not done very much anymore from a what we would call a professional ham cure, that's where you rely on Mother Nature to provide the refrigeration in the springtime and the summer temperatures. And for those guys, and even in our 4-H project, we start in the cold January months. We're allowing Mother Nature to provide the refrigeration. Other processors have recreated winter and spring and summer through mechanical refrigeration, but usually those winter rooms or even your ambient cured rooms, they're cold. The hams are spaced out along there so we can get good airflow through them. The floors are usually wet. In my class right now, the kids are curing country hams, and they're monitoring the weight loss the entire semester, and the area where they're at in the cooler is the floors are wet, 70% water, and that salt's forcing that water out of there, and so they're losing weight. After the curing process is done, we usually say, about 2 days per pound of ham is how long it takes to cure a ham, and that's when the salt penetrates the ham thoroughly. It gets all the way to the bone. Then we gradually warm the temperatures up in the rooms that they're in, or we transfer them to a warmer temperature to kind of mimic the springtime. And that's what we call salt equalization, where the salt kind of lack of a better word, equalizes itself throughout the entire ham. Because we've done some research here at UK where some parts of the ham may be 3 or 4% salt, where other parts of the ham may be 5% salt. But when we go through that equalization process, we kind of equal out that percentage of salt throughout the ham. Then the summertime, the hams that's when they start to shrink, and that's also when they start to develop their characteristic flavor and aroma. Even though you would say, the animal that donated that ham, or as we like to say for some folks, respectfully donated the ham to serve as a agricultural product, you would say that's dead. But there's still enzymes that are working inside there, and they're breaking down those fats and those proteins to develop that flavor and aroma. And those rooms are typically set around 75 to 90 degrees. So in the middle of January, when we have our aging rooms open and they run about 80, 85 degrees, there's a lot of folks that like standing inside there because it's pretty warm.
Dr. Renfro, this has been most instructive. And again, it's, it's lunchtime here, and I know Tracy's salivating once again.
You're killing me this week. You're just killing
Good,
me.
Good. Got your ham and biscuits. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us
My
today.
My pleasure. You bet.
Take care.